in a fried out combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. Met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. She said, do you come from a land down under, where women glow and men plunder? Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Yeah.
Cheers, Russ. Cheers, Wally. Happy work, mate.
Much Cyrus better intro. Monk.
What a great intro. Cyrus Monk, he's stuck in quarantine in somewhere in Australia. And he's been making these cracking videos. Look, we've welcome back, everyone.
Yeah. Mm. You're looking like a summer once a wife.
Yeah, is your sound quality bad, Sam, or are you sick, or is it both? You're wearing AirPods with cords attached to them, so what's going on there?
Mate, these are cords, and they're still the circle-shaped headphones. These are like 1995.
I think they're from our year in history, aren't they? Isn't that where they are today? They came from our...
Today, in the year, we do the release of the Apple iPhone. Fucking shit headphones.
Mate, they'd be worth a bit of money. I'd hold on to those. They're as rare as fucking hen's teeth.
But no, I'm out of town, and I forgot. I didn't plan on being here this morning. I thought I'd be home by now, so I forgot my microphone, my headphones. I think I've got COVID again, second time. First podcast in history to have COVID twice.
Speculation, though, isn't it?
It's not massive speculation. I'm pretty sure I haven't got it, to be fair. But I am drinking Coke without caffeine because I feel like absolute dog shit.
Mate, you're going to be the only bloke that wants a vaccine twice. You're going to want a double dose with all the shit that you've gone through. Ups and downs.
You know what it actually is? Do you know what it actually is right now? It's the fact that you've been riding the wave. Like, you had your off season, you launched, you rode the wave, and you've gone out to your country resort to start, you know, your health resort, and the waves crashed. You've gone out there to get on the waters and to just start, you know, start back for 2021, training again, all the stuff, and the waves crashed hard in a big wave. And it's put you straight on your ass. And now you think, yeah, I got COVID, but it's not. this is just consequence of your bad behavior for the last month.
Yeah, it's just a combination of things, eh? And like, I went deep yesterday out here. So I'm staying at a friend's place out of town. They're away at the moment. So I came out here. I'm staying here for a few nights. I mowed the lawn. I raked the leaves. I cleaned my car. I fucking sprayed the weeds. I was out working for about 10 at night. And I'm just like, it's a classic case of just writing checks that your body can't cash.
You've cooked it up.
It's volumes about you as well, though, the fact that household choice, about your lifestyle, or about cycling lifestyle in general, how like chores become like novelty things. You're like, oh, it's so sweet, man. I got the buster out and did all the weeds. I was like weeding with a big sprayer. Like, that was punishment when I was growing up. Like, yeah, fuck you. You got to go get on the buster now and do all the thistles. But now for you, you've been city slicking, and you might wear a cowboy hat. You might wear a storm dry. You might wear earphone with cables on them, but you are a city slicker, and you're going out in the country, and you're like, oh, man, it's so cool. I was raking all the leaves. I was just raking leaves, man. I was like, leave leaves there, and I just raked them, and they were in a pile. It was sick.
How many people did you tell about your day of gardening, Bills? Because I just sensed a big... like batch of pride in that voice COVID.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I told everyone I knew. Like, everyone.
I didn't see any Instagram videos. I was expecting, like, hey guys, you know,
hey,
welcome to the garden,
damper.
So what you want to do is you want to put the rake on the leaves and then you want to pull it. Absolutely.
Well, if you reckon you're doing it tough, think of our poor man. Cyrus Monk, who did the intro, he's stuck in quarantine 2 weeks. He's in Adelaide, and there was a story of they've had a bit of an outbreak. You know, they're in shutdown for 6 days. And imagine going through 2 weeks of quarantine. There's people that were then told, oh, no, sorry, you got to do another 2 weeks. It's been an outbreak in your hotel. Yeah, you got to do another 2 weeks. This bloke, I read this article, 4 weeks. And he's gone, mate, I left UK because it was a shitstorm. I've come out here to Adelaide to get away from it. And fucking here we go again.
And there's 4 weeks. There's 20 cases in Adelaide. Mate, there's 20 cases in the fucking house.
Like, mate, people are freaking out. They're queuing up like 5K longs to get tested. Like, they need to take your approach, Bills, and just go out and fucking rake the leaves.
How's France having 87,000 cases a day?
Oh, yeah. I think America topped over 200,000. Adelaide, 20. But anyway, hey, why don't we check in with our man, Cyrus Monk? Here he is.
How's it going?
Hey, thanks for putting us in.
Yeah, yeah, no worries. I'm pretty flat out at the moment. Just had lots of appointments. I actually had a visitor today who fixed my phone because turns out
that sounds illegal. That sounds like a breach.
Well, they were trying to call me on the landline in the hotel for ages to make sure I wasn't dead, and they thought I was dead. And I was wondering why police kept coming and knocking on the door because they thought I'd escaped because I kept calling and it wasn't working. And then this bloke came in with the full hazmat suit before, and he's like, I'm just going to need you to stand in the bathroom for a bit. And I was just like, oh, shit, what have I done now? And then, he just came in and fixed the phone.
You thought he was going to walk up and snap your flute, like the name of you've driven crazy. And then, with that flute.
And then the worst bit was he came in and he said, oh, your room's a bit messy. And I was like, Jesus, I wasn't expecting visitors.
Yeah, exactly.
Critical fucking feelings to yourself.
Yeah. Jesus. No. But I got a phone.
So you're in for how long have you been in there for?
7 days today. So I got in Friday morning last week and then I get coming out. From where? Coming from Dublin. So I was in Ireland for a bit. I was all over Europe. So I was in Europe trying to get a visa and then I basically couldn't get a visa anywhere to stay. So I was like, Australia actually looks all right at the moment. I'll go back there and then yeah, so I came back here and then turns out it's not all right because now Adelaide's gone to shit. So then I don't know when I'm going to get out basically because one of our kitchen staff now has COVID. It's not ideal. So they shut down the kitchen and now we've just been eating cold wraps for the last week, well, the last 4 days. So cold wraps and chicken salads and that kind of thing. And all the kitchen staff, so get this, they've rocked up at work one evening, worked out one of their colleagues has tested positive and they've had to come into quarantine with us in this hotel. So they've rocked up to work and they're not going to leave until 2 weeks later. And
is this typified OWL 2022?
You got to just write this off. So there's a lot to unpack here. So firstly, the fact that you were cruising around Europe anywhere, just looking for somewhere to let you in. So any country you're willing to stay that would give you a visa.
Pretty much.
Not one country went, we'll give you a visa.
No, I was in Ireland for the first lockdown because I sort of got stuck there and that's where it was free to stay with the team. And then we were racing like in September and a little bit of October. And then I binned it in Andorra and just was in a neck brace and a sling for a while because it separated my AC.
Where did you crash?
Coming down one of the tiny little climbs. What's the tiny bottom town?
You sure you're in Andorra?
Tiny little road. What's the bottom town in Andorra, the lowest town that's actually still in Andorra?
St. Julia.
Yeah, St. Julia. Yeah. So one of the little ones down into there. And then I just hit a rock on a descent and had a front tire blowout, like nightmare stuff. And then it's just on a switchback, like coming around one switchback and then setting up for the next one. And then so just lost the front wheel and I was like, oh, I'm in trouble here. And then next thing I knew, I was just waking up in a ditch. But it was lucky I was training with like a teammate there, Bernat. And Mark Soler, like they knew someone there that just came and picked me up and took me down to hospital. So they went straight back to. It wasn't a white Audi. I don't really remember that much of that day. But so I came back into Ireland and I was in the full sling and neck brace, and then I came into border control, and they just said, oh, what are you doing in Ireland? I said, I'm here to get some medical treatment. And they said, how long will you be here for? And I was like, well, I don't know how fucking cooked I am, do I? And then
how long's a piece of street? Fuck off.
Yeah, so they told me, all right, well, you've got 2 weeks. So I had 2 weeks in Ireland, and I thought, all right, well, while I'm here, I'll go get a visa. So I went to the visa office on like day 10 or something to try and get a visa, and they said, oh, you haven't quarantined for 2 weeks yet. You're not allowed to be here. And I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Oh, so they told me I was only allowed to stay there for 2 weeks, but I couldn't go to any appointment within 2 weeks. And I'd already overstayed my visa when I was there in the lockdown the first time. So
you
then
call Sean Kelly and get him to pull some strings. Nah, doesn't he run the show up there?
No, I think he spends all his time in the UK commentating. But then, yeah, my sister lives in Berlin. So I went to Germany to try and get a visa. And then I was in the immigration line there 3 times because there was no appointments till December. And I was lining up with all my, Israeli mates and Lebanese mates in the line at 2 a.m. trying to get an appointment. And they just said, no, mate, you're dreaming. You're not going to get an appointment for a working holiday visa, which is what I was going for. So I started looking at flights and managed to find one for about $2,000 Aussie. So that was pretty good going. So that was just last week. And yeah, can't fly into Melbourne at the moment. So flew into Adelaide. So I was like, oh, they've been pretty safe with everything that's close to Melbourne. And then, now here we are in lockdown going on outside.
3 months accommodation.
Why do you want to stay in Europe, actually?
Just because it was so expensive to get back. It was going to be it's $5,000 to get back here. And I just didn't want to be doing this, like sitting in a hotel for 2 weeks. But it hasn't been bad so far.
You're going to come out of this as an Instagram sensation. For anybody who hasn't seen Instagram or Twitter, find Cyrus Monk on Twitter and Instagram and look at his videos. That's why he's on the show, because he's an absolute classic. It's worth it.
Did someone we've only got you on for the music?
Yeah. No, that's right. I figured not for the ride lately anyway. With you? It was a complete fluke. I've got that like little tin whistle thing. I've had that for ages. Because I played that growing up, and I just I'd normally play guitar, but you can't travel around with a guitar very easily when you already got a bike with you. So, and then I was just in, when I was trying to get back into Ireland, I had to sneak in through the UK because I wasn't allowed back in there to pick up all my stuff and fly home. So I flew through Glasgow and then Belfast, and this was all to like not get like prosecuted for breaking border laws. I had to travel through all these extra cities. And then just walking around Glasgow, I just found this music shop open. I was like, oh, I'll walk in here and see what there is. And I was just like, I'm going to be sitting around for a while here, whatever happens, so I may as well buy a harmonica. So I'd never played the harmonica in my life. I was just like, oh, I'll have a bit of time to practice that. And then, yeah, sure enough, here I am just playing that and that. And I think the only reason people like it is just because it's made out of random shit in the hotel room. Like if I was trying to do a good job of it, people would just be like, oh, who's this tosser? Piss off.
That's it, mate. You can't polish a turd. And there's no point.
Yeah.
People love rough.
Yeah. No, that's what, and I've been like getting sucked in now to try to make them too good. And then I get like a few hours in and I'm just like, oh, fuck, no one cares. As long as I know what song it is, it's all good.
I like that rude.
We've got some comments. Adelaide is shit. And she's backed it up with Adelaide's boop. Then Jutto, why would anyone voluntarily go to Adelaide? Wow, it's a bit harsh. Wendy Superfan, Cyrus, do you have enough tools there to make your music vids? I see you're having to resort to salt and pepper.
Yeah, just trying to use. Now it's got to the point where I'll just go around the house and just like start flicking shit and being like, oh, that makes a cool noise. And then, I'm like trying to work out how I can use the kettle, but the timing with the kettle is pretty hard, getting it to boil at the right time during that.
Any mess in that room, mate. Whatever you do, pack it away afterwards.
Exactly. And I've got to be careful about using water here too, because they're always pretty strict on the water restrictions in South Australia. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Geez, anything else they want to throw at you? you got to stay in this hotel for 2 weeks, maybe four. And you can't use the water.
Yeah.
You clean your room.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're going to cut your phone off as well.
Yeah.
And so
I think this is a good example of COVID bringing out the best in the creativity. You know, like I found in the lockdown, like when I was properly stuck inside 2.5 months, one thing that made me laugh a lot was just how funny people got. Like it just actually brought out the funniest in people. And I'm not big on social media at all, really. In fact, I opposite. But in that time, I had to say that Instagram actually made me laugh a lot. Like it actually just was something that, you know, you just see how people react to it and you see everyone doing something different and you go, oh, that's actually pretty cool.
So GB, are you condoning what Cyrus is doing after months of giving me shit?
Yeah, yeah, I'm condoning it.
Oh,
here he is.
Mate, there you go. You've got a green
yeah,
tick
but it's
from
yeah,
GB.
But music's the key to my heart.
Yeah, well, that's it. Oh, Bill, nice. Have you got a request? GB, what's
yeah,
song would you like?
Really done to Rube. I'm trying to think what would go well with a harp. I think, you know, I think anything with the harmonies works well that you can play over each other. And it does need, like, the Aussie crawl stuff could go well. I just feel like it needs to be some kind of bogan, you know, it needs to have some kind of element of, like, you know, soul of the earth.
What about flame from Jimmy Barnes, Cold Chisel?
Yeah, something that... Something along those lines would go well.
Yeah.
What about?
Oh, here we go. Slot, 3 day growth. Keep one and 3 day growth. That'll go well with a harmonica.
Mm. I'm gonna get me pen and paper because
is that Aussie crawl? Yeah.
Yeah. Aussie crawl could work alright. Yeah. I'll write these down.
All right. There's your homework. We'll check in with them in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a shout out when I've been shouting out all the people that request the songs. So. So, yeah, keep them coming in. Everyone else listening.
That'll be
too.
Two green ticks for George. The shout-out and the...
You should no, I hate a shout-out. There's nothing worse than a shout-out. That's the worst thing there is for me.
Tag George in it and see if he reposts. I bet you.
Not a chance.
Yeah, I doubt it. I tagged Darude, but he didn't get around it.
Frick.
Yeah. LMNOP. Mm. Get me some LMNOP. Do you remember LMNOP, GB?
Yeah, I remember LMNOP.
Do you guys know LMNOP?
Fast Times in Tahoe?
It's this New Zealand band, like, garbage, eh?
Well,
they're not the ones who sing how bizarre. Who's that?
No, that's OMC. We love a letter titled band, you know, like it stands for something. Like, do you remember the clothing brand SMP? And as growing up, it was like a skateboard brand, and everyone used to think it was like sex, money, power. But in my town, everyone said, no, if you wear SMP, it means you've got a small, munted penis.
Well, it's like Adidas. After dinner, I did a shit.
Oh, no, all day long, I dream about sex. That's Adidas.
That's right. All right, mate. Well, we'll definitely check in with you again, Cyrus.
Yes.
Good luck with your remaining week, mate. And
appreciate
keep
belting
out the belted tunes on the wolf whistle.
Make sure you guys check it out, Cyrus Monk on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. Cool. Cheers. Thanks, guys. Right,
see you, take mate. It easy, mate. Cheers, mate. Well, I reckon before we kick on with the rest of our chat, I want to slip in one more tune from Cyrus. That is Mumble Number 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mango Number 5. Two, three, four, five, everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store on the corner. The boys say they got some gin and juice, but I really don't want to jump up and down. Move it all around, shake your head to the side, put your hand on the ground. Take one step left, one step right, one to the front and one to the side. Clap your hands once, clap your hands twice. And if it looks like this, then you're doing it. A little bit of Monica in my life, a little bit of Erica by my side, a little bit of Rita's all I need, a little bit of Tina's all I see, a little bit of Sandra in the sun, a little bit of Mary all night long, a little bit of Jessica, here I am, a little bit of you makes me your man.
he did well to make all those girls look different as well on those pieces of paper.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. Few more comments. People are saying it's not Drinking the water in Adelaide is the issue, not how much you use. Oh, geez, they're coming in hot. But then,
why do people not like South Australia in Australia, Jonesy?
No, I don't have a problem. South Australia's great. Adelaide is great, as Glenn Lewis said. Some of the best shows in the world. Oh, and pretty awesome bike race. So, you know, there's a couple of good points there. Lay off the crow eaters. What else is going on, boys?
What do we...
So, injury update, Sam. What's going on?
Yeah, no, look, the bloody wrist has been... So, obviously, everyone knows it. Well, most people who listen to the show know that I crashed at the Tour de France in September, coming up three months to the day almost, and broke my wrist. At that point in time, it seemed like a pretty basic injury, you know, like a couple of fractures in the wrist, put it in the cast, put it in a brace, whatever, look after it for a little bit, 6 weeks later, you'll be good as gold. 6 weeks came, I thought, man, this is doesn't really seem to be getting much better. So I had another scan. They're like, you just need some more time. So I gave it more time, and now it's 3 months, and I was like, this is actually bullshit. My wrist is just not getting better at all. What the hell is going on here? So over the course of the last week, I've been in and out of different appointments, seeing specialists, seeing surgeons, seeing having scans, more scans, and basically the conclusion is my wrist is stuffed. So, yeah, in the end, there was about four or five fractures that have all been – they're all displaced. They're all – they've all healed in the wrong place, so they have to. I'm having a surgery next week, next Tuesday, I think, at this point, where they're going to have to basically break my wrist again and set it all back in its spot. And it's going to be a long, long recovery, very, very long recovery, unfortunately. So that's why I'm out here in the country, just trying to live my best life for a few days before I'm bloody can't do shit all for another 4 or 5 months.
But other than that, all good?
Yeah. No. Otherwise fine?
No. I'm pretty frustrated and upset about it, to be fair.
That is rough, though, isn't it? Because it's like one of those things that you think, if you break your hand, normally if you break your hand, I actually broke my hand once in Tour of Southland and rode the next day. I just had a cast on it. It was fine. But, like, that one there, a week later, it just needs a couple of weeks. And if you just gone straight away into the surgery... It would have been if straight away they knew what they knew now, it'd be a distant memory. You'd be 100% fine, we're 100% no problem. And now you've got to start from over three months after, you're gonna have to start from the day after the crash, essentially. It's like you were exactly crash. When you walk out of that surgery, it's even worse than what the you crash. Think.
Like everything's healed, they're gonna break the whole wrist again. And I don't really want to talk publicly at the moment about the recovery time, but it is gonna be pretty long. You know, I thought it was going to be a couple of months, and I've since found out it's probably going to be longer than that. So, yeah, it's fucking shit ass. But at the end of the day, it's a really good time to get the surgery done because obviously we're in the off season. Yeah, like George says, it would have been great to have this done a few months ago, but that's just the way it's gone, the way the injury has evolved. And at the end of the day, look, I mean, racing is going to probably start in February, but there's also a chance where it starts a little bit later, given the evolution of this pandemic, what happens, you know. So it's better to have the surgery done now, take a little bit of a gamble. Maybe I start racing in March, and that's when the peloton starts racing as well. So it's better to do it now than wait another year, because we know for sure in 2022 racing is going to start in January. So, you know, I do have... Although it would be great to have an extra couple of months up my sleeve, I do actually have some time. So so that's all good. And, you know, like I've re-signed a new contract as well, which gives me the motivation to push forward and recover from this injury, do everything right over the next couple of months, make sure that when I do come back from the injury, I'm ready to start racing again and have a red hot crack at a couple more years with MTS.
Firstly, congrats on your contract. You went a different way with that. When you said, I've signed a new contract, I thought you meant, now I'm going to chuck it into neutral. And just coasted in. You know, I thought that's where that was going. I got a new contract, put the feet up.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got an injury. I've got a new contract. So,
you know what?
I'm going to go garden for 6 months. Yeah. You chased off a wild pig as well, Bules.
Yeah, there was a pig here last night, a little bastard.
Really?
They're bad out here, eh? You know that, George. Like, out in this valley, like...
Yorra Valley. It's interesting talking. I went to lunch with a guy on the weekend. He was telling me about, because over in Toronto, it's really strange at the moment. If you go all around the foothills, there's this crazy thing where people like we have this, like the most used walking track is like up towards San Miguel, up this area, and it's just full of people. And just like, I don't know, a week ago or something, I was going for a run up there, and this old boy was just walking along with a hip flask and a shotgun and a high vis vest. And you're just like, what are you doing? Like, this is crazy. He drives in, parks on the side of the road. He's got like a GPS tracker. He's always got dogs in the bush. And he's just walking around like this super populated area. You know, like you always can see somebody. It's like almost like a highway of walking tracks. And he's just shooting wild pigs with a shotgun off the side of the road. Like, and you just can't do that. No. And apparently they come in like more and more into urban areas as the lockdown comes. So like up in like the fringes of town, you just get this influx of wild boars. And then you just get these old boys. It's always like the two factors are you have to have like a hip flask, and you have to be about 60 or 70 plus. They're the two things, the two pre-requirements to be a pig hunter in urban areas in Spain. And so these guys just go around dangerously popping off wild boars.
You want to know a random stat? The guy, Gary, our bus driver, who hit the gantry at the Tour de France, top bloke. Yeah. He has a record for the biggest pig shot in the Basque Country, 180 kilo. Really? Yep, jeez, I let him a Shimano camera. Yeah, I let him a Shimano camera, and he filmed it. And he goes, "Oh, have a look at the footage." I looked at it, and he saw rustling in the bushes. And he puts his gun up and goes, "Crack!" And he walks over. It's this mountain of pig. He's gone, "Hostia!" Hey, it's like, "Don't walk over this fucking." It was unbelievable. It was like he shot a hippo, 180 kegs. Yeah. Hey, there's enough meat to feed like an entire village. Like, yeah, they loved it. So,
the problem here is it's seasonal pig hunting. Where I'm pretty sure in New Zealand, correct me if I'm wrong, George or the listeners, that
yeah, it's all year round. It's definitely just opened up. It opened up, I guess, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And man, it's a dangerous time to be a hiker.
Yeah.
And
it's good getting in touch with the phone up there, says caution, hunters in the area. You're like,
yeah, it'd be shit yourself.
I'm really worried about if you ever have to take like a bush shit and you're rustling around, and you know what I mean? If you ever, that's when you're in danger. But,
we're not going down that path again, are we?
No, we'll stay away from there. But I want to stay on the lines of nature and getting in touch with our roots, because 2 days ago, I've got a real survival story for you boys.
That happened to me 2 days ago.
So we're up in Andorra, and Caitlin, she said, "Oh, we've got to go. I've got to do part of her rehab to get back into a running. She had a big hip operation." She said, "I'm doing a 5-hour hike today." And she said, "Do you want to come?" I said, "Not really." And she said, "Well, you're coming. Okay." She said, "I've got this cool hike we're going to do over here." And I said, "No, if I'm coming for a 5-hour hike, we're going to the top of Andorra. We're on the biggest one in Andorra." He's like, "Oh, I know this one." And it was like this beautiful day, like end of November, somehow 20 degrees. We're up at, we live at 2,000 meters. And so it was started off shorts and t-shirt. And we start walking through this the most beautiful landscape you can think of, like lakes and this alpine, getting higher and higher and walking through. And as we get closer, you can see this ridge that we're trying to get to. And you can clearly see that it's the only part with a bit of snow on it, because it's always in the shade. There's not, it doesn't get a minute of sun. And it's this sort of face that you kind of, and from a distance, you can still clearly see a zigzag track up there. And you go, "Oh, it's got snow on it, but you can clearly see the track." I mean, it's from a K away, you can see this huge zigzag. And we start getting there, and like classically, you cut the zigzag and you walk up and you sort of go walking up. And then like at one point, like we started trying to get on the zigzag and we're like, "Oh, it's pretty slippery and stuff." And then like we get sort of halfway up and we go, "Oh, you know what? Like, this is how people get into trouble, actually. No one knows we're up here, and we're not really prepared for this. Like, let's actually not take a risk. Like, you never want to take a risk. Mountain safety is a pretty serious thing." And so we turn around to go down, and we look down and we're like, "Holy shit, we can't get down this. We could not get down. No matter what we do, we could not get down this hill." And we were like, what do we do? So we sort of tried to shuffle down a bit, and just like the only option was just slipping down into this huge valley, and just rocks, and there's just no way down. And we're like, "Well, at the moment it looks like we seem to be able to get up okay." And so we just got to commit, and we just got to get to the top and then walk around down a different way, which is not snowy. So we just commit to the top, and then we get about 4/5 or maybe 3/5 of the way up, and then we go, okay, hold on. We're actually struggling to get up now. And it just gets, I didn't know, I'd never been up this place. And Caitlin runs up there all the time. So she failed to mention that it just gets steeper and steeper and steeper until the last part's a proper ramp. And then we get to the last part and we're like, we can't get up. We sure as shit can't get down. And we were having to do the gecko, you know? So we were smashing holes and like foot holes and with our elbows, with our knees. Everything's bleeding, you know, and we're just doing a full gecko on the side of this mountain, looking down, getting like vertigo. And we're going, this is how it ends. This is actually how it ends. And we get to a rock and we sit there and we take stock. And I start to get like a bit of like proper, like, whoa, blacking out here. Like, this is, we were like shaking, fingers completely numb. I've still got nerve damage in my fingers. Still feels like I've just burnt all the ends of my fingers off. And we were just shaking. We're like, okay, we're going to have to call the rescue chopper here. And we got to a point where we had 10 meters to go. And so we're like, we've got 10 meters up to this face, and we'll just get there. We just got to get there. And then we're like, nah, we just can't do it. And we're like, okay, we're going to have to call the rescue chopper. And we thought about it, and we're like looking down, looking up, looking down. And we're like, starting to get cold in terms of this. And we're like, just sat there for 10 minutes. We're just taking stock. And then I just had to plot out this course. I was like, no, we can't call the rescue chopper. And I had to plot out this like rock climbers. So you're hanging on a rock. Like spread eagled on the snow cliff, hoping you don't just fall down to this valley. Anyway, I ended up making it up, and the worst part about this whole thing is I get up, and then Caitlin had to go, and the worst part of the whole day was, once I went first obviously to make sure I could find a track, then I had to watch Caitlin do the last bit up, and that was one of the worst things I've ever seen. We get to the top. We're exhausted. We're like cold. We're like, oh my God, that was the dumbest thing we've ever done. And we look at the GPS, and I know that this walk is 24K long. That's 24K hike. We'd planned the route before. And I looked at the GPS. We've been on the mountain for 3.5 hours. The last 200 meters took us over an hour. And we've done 5K, and we've been out there for 3.5, 4 hours. And I was like, you're telling me we now have 20K to go. It's about 2 in the afternoon. The sun goes down in like 2 hours. How are we getting off of this?
Did you slip the whole, this was your fucking idea?
No, so this is the thing. This is the I knew on the
That's
mountain.
That's what I would have done.
Whatever I did, I could never show any panic on the way up. You know, just had to go, oh, no, it's all good. Okay, I was like, I don't like this. And I was like, neither do I, but she's right, you know what I mean? You had to stay so bothered, because at one point, if you're like, what the fuck are we doing on here? Like,
it all falls to bits.
Just lose it, yeah.
Then I just, Jesus. You know, you get to the point where you just let go, don't you?
So what, you did the 20Ks to get back?
A hotline back, and we ended up doing, we found a straight line back down this, another ridge, bit of navigation, lucky you get GPS and cell phone signal up there, and got back down and made it into about 13K hike. But it took us a whole day, and we got back in the car.
You know people, when they get bitten by a shark, they can't go under the water for 6 months. Are you done with rocks and climbing and all that shit for a while now?
Well, for the moment, I can't feel my fingers still. So I'm not going for a hike again, that's for sure. Between the pig hunters and snow faces, I'm not going out. I'm staying in the house.
I love the comparison, Jonesy. Like, you know, people who get like attacked by sharks, but
it's traumatic.
I would have taken my chance with a shark than a mountain.
What reminds me of the movie Cliffhanger is like, it was literally like listening to you reading the script of the movie Cliffhanger with Stallone. You know, at the start when he's hanging on the helicopter.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or that the thing with that movie, I can't believe he dropped that chick at the start. Mm. Like, I remember when I saw it for the first time, like, oh, here we go, Sly's gonna bloody bring her up. And then when her hand was slipping, I'm going, oh bullshit, she's not gonna come out of that. And then when it got to the monkey grip, the fingers, I thought, nah, she's fucked. That final shot where she's looking at him and she's falling down. And then there's a film error in that. It was on Hey Hey It's Saturday.
Used that
movie bloopers. Yeah, but movie bloopers. When they go back to the shot at the chopper, when they're all crying when Sly's dropped her, and they're all going, no! Google this or YouTube it. The guy in the background, the chopper pilot's pissing himself laughing. Like, he's pissing himself laughing. It was a movie mistake that they should have cut out. So this guy's like, no, like he's lost his wife and the chopper pilot's pissing himself.
It's like in The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings when they filmed the Shire, and it's in Matamata, which is in central North Island. And there's like the film in the Shire, like this is like how many ever hundreds of years ago or whatever. And this car just drove past, like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But do you remember the guy? Who was the guy that drinks his piss? Bear Grylls. I saw this like myth busting thing of like locations, and it like pans like where he's like lost in the desert, he's dried out, he's like, you know, he's just can't get any water, and then they just pan and there's just like a servo. Like if they go to the location and then go to a service station.
Well, you know Bear Grylls going down rabbit holes now. He did an episode in the Florida Keys where he was meant to be staying the night in a swamp. But then the crew got so sick of it, six episodes in, like same thing, going, he's sleeping inside of camels and all this crap. He lifted the lid and said, no, we choppered out of there that night. We stayed in a 5-star hotel and we choppered him back in the next day. So they had to do a disclaimer at the start of every one of those Man versus Wild shows saying this is filmed out of sequence and basically it's nonfiction. It's a bit of a shame because the first 5 eps, I was like, geez, this guy is the real deal.
Mm.
Like, same thing, he's drinking his piss. It's probably just apple juice, you know?
And I remember the one where it was super cold and he's like, it was a real strange situation. It couldn't have worked out well from the long term. It was freezing, but he was in like Norway or something and he needed to get warm up and he found like a thermal pool. So he jumps in the thermal pool. And then I was like, then what? You know, it's minus fucking 20 and he's soaking wet. What is it, you know, he's in there with his clothes and stuff. Yeah. Get a chopper. Get a chopper to a 5-star resort. That's what he's going to do now.
Get in the chopper.
One thing I want to ask you boys is this apartment block I've living in Caulfield, we've got communal facilities. Like we've got pool and then we've got like a gym. They're all sort of shut down. But when they open up, I was thinking they might have to piss the sauna off. Because I can't see how saunas are really going to be the go-to place post-COVID. Because
I thought that, not that anyone knows about the disease that well, especially me, but I thought that I couldn't survive in that heat.
I think it's more the mental, the feeling of germs and sweat or something. I don't know. Like I think mentally it just feels like a germ bloody gangbang. You know, they're all mixing together. It just always feels filthy. There's always like some old guy with, you know, those Speedos that have faded. You know, he's left nuts popping out and he's just sitting there.
I think it's more the people that are germy that go to saunas, you know. Like it's more the people they attract.
Everyone who goes to a sauna's got a demon to sweat out. That's why you go to a sauna. Like half the time, like, oh, I'm piss crook, I've got to go to a sauna. Or like, whatever. Yeah. And you go to everyone's in that sauna going like, be good if there's a therapist in here as well, you know, like there's no one in there who's like, oh, yeah, up and about.
But that's why it's so silent. Everyone's just sitting there thinking about like all the like crimes they've committed the night before or like how badly they've treated their body. And they're just sitting there going,
because I went for a period there when I was so fat that I thought, well, I'll just have saunas because why do I need to run to sweat now? You know, saunas will fix everything, and you know, that's how people lose weight. So when I went on the tour in 2010, I had a mate, Bones, who came with me. He was a builder, and I got him a gig just holding a tripod. He fucking loved it. And I remember we're at the tour. It was 2009, actually, and he'd never been in a sauna. We had one at the hotel, and I said, hey, Bones, you know, come have a sauna with me. He's like, nah, mate. So no, they're fucking great. You feel awesome afterwards. Anyway, that is a bad time. And then I forced him into this sauna, right? Never been in one. And we're sitting there, and it wasn't that hot. You know, I'd had a good run of saunas going into the tour just to get myself looking sharp, you know, that tight sauna skin.
Get dehydrated.
Yeah. And I remember sitting there, and I just kept tipping the water on the coals, and I'm going, he's like, oh, fuck, mate, it's getting hot. I was like, mate, just block it out. Just block it out. Yeah, you'll feel amazing. He's just, you know, no, it's too hot. I said, mate, you'll be fine. Anyway, he pauses, and all of a sudden this blood just starts trickling down his nose. I was like, nah, Boats, you better get out, mate. Like, it's too fucking hot. We've cooked it up. Quick, get out. Put your head, get in a cold shower. Quick, get some bandages. Like, all right, that's it. I was freaking out. No shit. After that, we went to the tour. We went to New York, and he did not stop getting blood noses for 6 weeks. We'd be at a bar, and he'd order a drink, and the lady's giving him his drink. She goes, "Oh," he's like, "What?" It's like blood just pissing out his nose. We went to like Cancun, and we're on a dance hall once, and he's like ripping it, and fucking blood's just spraying out. I'm going, "Bones, you got another blood nose?" He's like, "Oh, that fucking sauna." He went home to Australia. Went and saw the doc and had to get, like, whatever part of the vessel is.
Cauterized or whatever.
Yeah, had to get it fused, like, to put the blockage in. All because, like, that about 8 dunks of the water on the coals fucking fried him.
Yeah, the saunas do attract a bad crowd. Like, I feel like if you spend enough time in saunas, you sort of, you come out speaking German or something, you know? Like, it's just, it's always the, or Scandos are always in there, and it's always like it's always a real leathery kind of feel, you know what I mean? Like, you have to have a certain skin, you have to be tanned, and you have to have a certain amount of like wrinklage, because the one in Punk Rock and in our local one, the people, there's never a good young fit guy in there, is it? It's just someone like,
it's always a crossover though, like in the sauna that we use in Girona, and like people in Australia and New Zealand probably find it's weird, but it's nude. We all run nude in the sauna here. Oh, maybe you run nude. You have a towel. You sit on, because otherwise it's hot.
What is that? Is that just because it's hot? Well, it's actually, so you just get down to nothing.
Well, it makes sense, because otherwise you just, if you're trying to sweat, and like if you're wearing something like shorts or whatever, then they just get covered. I don't know why, but it's better. It's much better.
I think it's just an excuse to be naked in a group of men. I feel like it's we justify it how you like it.
You don't need an excuse anymore. 2020.
Exactly.
There is a real mix in punk rock sauna. Like, you either get that person that you're talking about, George, but sometimes you get like the Girona footy players.
And I never get them.
Have you not had the Girona footy players? There's this one dude who comes in, and Girona football teams, like, they were first division for a couple of years. I think they're second division again now, but like a good football side. And this dude, he comes in quite often. Last year when I was going, he was in there almost every day. And he's ripped his shit, you know. It's like sitting next to cut firewood, and and you're like this skinny little bike rider,
I definitely get some body. I definitely get some body issues. So what's it called when you have like is it mesomorphia or whatever? When you have like, you're sitting there skinny as, and if I go anywhere near that gym, that's why I'm just doing it all at home. I'm installing a sauna in a gym. Actually, as we speak, the boys are up there chucking a new cable into the house so to power the thing.
But anyway. I had a mate, another mate.
His message.
He went, my mate William messaged. Sam Bamford, hi George. My mate William messaged you whenever you were in Nelson back in 2017, saying if you want to go for a ride with him, you must not have checked your messages as you haven't got back to him.
Then, anyone that knows, I'm...
And then he goes, are you able to give him a yay or a nay? 3 years ago.
Yeah, that bread might have gone a bit stale there, Sammy boy. Might be trying to throw that sourdough in the bin, I think.
I'm notoriously bad at messaging, though. My phone is never on me, and I don't look at messages. So,
big Rog. Thanks, mate. Good to see you.
On you, Rog. Yeah, I just want to finish sauna on, like, this is where it was crook, is a mate was going out with this German chick for a while and finally organized this three-week trip to go over and stay with her in Berlin. First day he gets there, they unpack and they all went down to the local pool, same thing, to go in the sauna. And they all got their kid off, like the mum, the dad, and obviously his missus, and just casually like walked in. And I said to him, like, what? The first day you'd met him, you went into the sauna, like, and they're all stark. He goes, yeah. And he went into the sauna.
It was like a family sauna.
A family, like, it was crossed, like men and women all in the one sauna. Like, and the in-laws, he's just met them, and he's sitting there in a sauna in the buff with, like, this German family that's like, they don't give a shit. And I said to him, mate, like, that's incredible. What were you doing when you were sitting in there? Like, what were you looking at? Surely you scoured the room. Like, even, like, it's the mother-in-law, but surely you had a peek. And he's like, oh, yeah, I couldn't help myself. And the worst was he sort of went to do that sort of head flick like real quick, and he sort of he's obviously locked in at the middle part, and as he did it, he reckons he's looked up and she was looking at him as soon as he did it. So then super awkward after that. And then I said, mate, I would have been a bee's dick off booking the flight home like the next day. He said, yeah, that night they're like casually like, you know, having a roast, like past the veggies, like they didn't give a shit. European families in Germany, they don't care.
It's the culture though over here. Like nudity, I find it real weird. I think we might have touched on this once before, like in the podcast, when you first came to Europe and obviously we shower on the bus after stages, after races or whatever. And like I was shy because in New Zealand growing up, nudity wasn't like.
You hid your modesty.
Yeah. But like here, it's normal. Like you literally sit on the bus, have a shower, walk around nude. It is a culture. And honestly, it's way better. Like why not? What's wrong with it? Everyone's got
one. As a bloke, it depends on what you're packing too. Like if you're not well
endowed. It's better for others, isn't it? Better for some than others.
It is. It discriminates against some. You know, let's be honest. You're going to avoid saunas at all costs. Anyway,
should we get out of here? Okay. Let's go into. Should we go into our Legend of Galleon?
I'll cut that last bit. That was shit. All right. Oh, what? Hang on. We're live. Oh, people keep asking about the Smirnoff Black Cans. Yeah, look, I've got a few I've got to chew through. I was going to start reviewing. RTDs, and that's a big New Zealand thing, isn't it? Ready to drink.
Well, if you're 14 years old or 15 years old and from Rimuera, then I think it's a big. Well, I think it's actually pretty nationwide. You just have to be a 15-year-old girl.
If I was to design an RTD, I would have the color around the top of the can. That look like a beer, so that when you're sitting in a corner at a party, it looks like you're just one of the boys. Because
it's got a Waikato draft around the top. You're meaning, and then at the bottom, it's just got like a Katy Perry kind of vibe for the bottom.
Yeah, or maybe someone can design like just the tops of beers to stick over the top of your RTD. So that if you're at a party, it's like the cop and shit.
Why don't you take that? Why don't you either take a skin, like a bigger stubby holder, or just a shell that you just sort of morph over? I actually saw something gross though about the top of cans the other day. Someone put a UV light on the top of your can.
Oh yeah, that's filthy. Like if you think about where a can store, the storerooms they sit in, the sheds, the trucks, all that stuff. They're just traveling, and then they just put on the shelf, and then you open and you drink it. Like could be rats and all sorts of bloody things.
Yeah, that's right. But tastes good.
Yeah. Wow.
On
the demographic, I guess.
Are we doing? Let's take our Legend of Balin to the listeners then, so we can get.
All right. Yep.
You guys ready? Everyone ready to vote? Yes or no on our Legend of Balin?
Yep.
Who was it?
Let's have him.
Bono.
Who's ready?
Bono.
So for me, Bono has. That's a good point. I don't know, but I think it's Bono. But I think basically, you know, he's a huge anthropologist, but he's committed one major crime in his life. This guy, and so he's, you know, he's basically what we're trying to find out is if all the good things he's done outweigh this one bad thing. And that bad thing for me was when he put that shocking album on our iPhones without asking for it, and he just if I go to my iTunes right now, there's still one U2 album on. It's the only thing that's on iTunes. I don't use anything else. I've just still got this. And in some cars, when you get into a car with a Bluetooth system, it automatically plays the iTunes first. So that's what he's done. He's just committed. He's a repeat offender. It's always on. It's always got Bono. And I know he's done a lot of good things, especially he really cashed in on the AIDS crisis. So does that outweigh all the good things he's done? Does that outweigh him assaulting us with that album that he put on our phones without asking us?
And how did he make money from that?
No, they sold it for 80 mil or something at the time. They sold it to Apple. So they said, all right, well, you can buy our album. And it was when Jobs just died and that new guy come in. And he's like, yeah, I got a good idea. It's like, well, no, you don't. And, there was massive pushback after that. I don't reckon they've really recovered that well.
No, they doubled. They deleted iTunes now. That was the end of iTunes. It's now you can't install, new phones don't come with it. It's basically, it's ancient technology.
Because of Bono.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
well,
of Bono.
Bono binned it pretty bad. Like, he had a nasty crash at Central Park. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago. So what he used to do is to go undercover in New York, he'd have like his disguise mapped out. And he used to dress up as a old Jewish man. He had like the wig and everything, and he was riding around in his bike, and I think the jacket he was wearing got caught in the spokes, and he went ass over tit, and I think he cut himself up pretty bad. Like, I think he was in hospital for a couple of months there. So Bono binned it.
People are voting already, like, well and truly, without us even really talking about it, which is great because I haven't really prepared for the segment.
Yeah,
this is true. It was a good album, Joshua Tree.
Yeah,
it was a great album.
Really, though, like, I'm not a massive U2 fan, to be fair. I mean, I like them. I like them, but I don't love them. It's not like I'd never be like, oh, I'll put on U2. You know, there's the odd song that comes on from U2, where I'm like, oh, yes, good tune. Yeah, Joshua Tree was a great album. But other than that, I'm like, oh, yeah, what am I listening to? Oh, U2. You know, I'll never do that. And he... Has he got glaucoma? Is that why he wears the sunnies?
No, he's a paintball fan. he's an extreme paintballist, and he's running around just dropping little pellets at people. He's like, he seems like the kind of guy that would wear gloves. You know what I mean? Like the kind of guy that would wear gloves without needing them. You know, like you get in the car and put gloves on, or you know what I mean? Just
like a glove.
Oh, they're just like part of his outfit.
Jaguar or something.
Yeah, they're just part of his outfit. He's got like, what is glaucoma?
I think it's something to do with your eyes weeping or something, isn't it?
I don't know. Isn't it what people smoke marijuana for?
Yeah.
I think I've got.
And then, yeah.
Medical
pass
marijuana.
Some of that for the cataracts.
Yeah. Glaucoma or whatever.
All right, so what do we think of Bono? I'm going to say...
Yeah, this is a good point from Ian Thomas. Why can't he just be Paul Bono, for fuck's sake? So his name is what? Paul Hewson or something, eh?
Yeah. David Hewson.
So he got the name Bono, which was actually shortened from Bono Vox, which is a Latin word for good voice, supposedly. So his friend called him Bono Vox because that means good voice in Latin.
Right.
And they shortened it to Bono, and then he's stuck with that. But yeah, what's wrong with Paul? Good point. Great point, Ian.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have overlook the iTunes stuff and vote Legend. I think he's a bit more Bellend-ish in the back half of his career. But
Knob is not an option. It's Legend or Bellend. It's not Legend, Bellend, or Knob, but we'll take that as Bellend.
Yeah. No, but I take that as a good thing because I'm in the same boat as him. I love him for his music, but he's a bit of a punisher, so
yeah.
I've got to go music first. A bit like Cyrus, you know, key to my heart. So we'll give him the green tip.
Great divides. Full fucking self-righteous knob jockey.
Yeah. What do you reckon he thinks?
He voted Legend or?
Yeah.
Legend?
I vote Legend as well, ultimately, because... I think you got to judge a man on what he does for a crisis.
How he approached the AIDS crisis. That's how you got to judge a man, isn't it? How he dealt with AIDS crisis in the 80s, and he really got behind it. So,
yeah.
And it wasn't for his own brand, was it? It was just really like from the good of his heart.
Well, he got voted
behind closed doors, kind of aid.
Bono has been one of the world's best known philanthropic performers and named the most politically effective
philanthropist
and was named the most politically effective celebrity of all time by the National Journal. So there you go, he's got a bit of swing. So,
all right, well, he gets my vote.
Yeah.
He's coming up, like, I'm just scrolling quickly through the comments here. He's coming up mainly a Bellend, to be fair, from all the listeners. There are some.
Well, we're coming in at right angles to our listeners here, so
we're going against the grain massively.
Well, that's good. We can, our listeners now know that we completely disregard what they say or think, and we'll go against them. So,
well, Scotty Davies says he tells everyone to contribute and do the right thing. Then he's has his cash in an offshore tax haven.
All right, well, I'm starting to swing. I'll tell you what, these guys are really starting to swing me. I might revoke my legend and tarnish him with a bellion. Then, I mean, that sounds like something that someone that lives in Andorra might do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, there's a lot of bellions. Cock rumble. What is that? All right, we're going down some dark holes here, boys.
Let's wrap it up.
I love this.
We're coming up to the hour. Yeah. I think we need to wrap this up pretty soon, eh? People don't need more than an hour.
All right.
I could sit here all day reading comments and just putting them up because there's some funny comments out there.
One other thing I forgot to mention about saunas is there used to be a world championships for saunas, and they canceled.
Guy died
in the final. Yep, he died in the grand final, and they had to pull him out. And they had a crowd of 1,000 people cheering on, and yeah, it was like horse racing, shocking. They had to pull a green screen up and everything. And they called the qualifying events to get in the final heats. So, yeah, sauna worlds.
All right, boys. Let's wrap this up. Thanks for people for tuning in and contributing some abuse at Bono. That was good. Good for my listeners.
I want to leave, Bules. Can I leave with you? Want to do the wrap up chat, and then I'll leave with that death defying championships from Finland. That's another random sport over in Euro.
Yeah. I haven't got much to wrap it up. It's been bloody good again. It was good to have Cyrus on. He's a laugh.
Yeah.
And thanks for everyone for the comments. We didn't put too many up today, but we would definitely have been driven by your guys' comments. So share the show, like, subscribe. I've got some work to do in the garden, so we'll leave you with George gone?
Has George got it? Well, he's definitely gone. We'll leave you with the death.
He just walked off.
I'm
just going to
hit me in about 2 minutes. So okay. He's just done a mic drop. We'll leave you with the death diving championship highlights from last year.
Death diving, Norway's finest sport championship, has started since 2018, but they've been doing this for a while. She gets a 42. Not that good. Here comes Elma Lund. I like her because I can pronounce her name. Oh, my God. She slipped, and now we all understand how dangerous this can be. Oh, my God. Now hits the star, finishes nice. The start was terrible. She's like, this isn't good. Don't even show me the score. And she gets a 40.5. Here comes the star of the show, Miriam Hamburg. Yeah, I'm number one, shaking her ass for the judges. She knows that's at least an extra point on the docket. Full sprint, full superwoman spin. Wow. Hits the pose with style. Doesn't over-rotate. Perfect finish. Good job, Miriam. And she gets 9.5s across the board. That's first place. She's excited. In your face. Astrid's the last chance. She's coming for the title. The backflip. Backflop. Ooh. Miriam celebrating in her face. Take that, Astrid. You over-rotated. You didn't beat me. In your face. I'm going to twerk right in your fucking face. In your face, Astrid. The Norwegian people are crazy. They're very competitive with their death diving. And it's kind of cool, but I don't know how she thought she was going to finish that correctly. It was just very clear you were going to backflop because you did a backflip. Whoa, look at the celebration here. Full boob grab, spinning around. That's kind of cool. Wow, look at this. Must be her brother. They're having a lot of fun. He trained her. Nice. Congratulations, Miriam. She wins first place. Good job, but I beat you. Good job, but I beat you. I am the best. Very proud of herself. Very proud of herself. Very proud of herself. Very, very